Montmorency's Revenge, written by Eleanor Updale and read by John Sessions.
Chapter 1. Glendarvey Castle, Scotland, January 1901. Lord Francis Fox Selwyn felt the pressure of the blade against his head. He closed his eyes and grasped the arms of his chair. "Go on. Just do it," he said, trying to sound brave. There was a pause, then a stinging sensation, and he knew he was bleeding. "You stupid fool! It's not my fault," said Tom, flinging the razor into a pot of soapy water. "I've never done this before. Do it yourself." "Do I look as if I've got eyes in the back of my head?" Tom laughed. "I don't know yet. Your hair's in the way." "Well, have another go," said Frank, calming down. "But be careful. That hurt." Tom tried again, more gently this time, wiping the razor on his leather apron and scraping away every tuft from Frank's scalp. The newly exposed skin was a pale, sickly shade of grey. Frank held up the hand mirror. "See? I told you, I'm unrecognisable. I could go anywhere like this and no one would know that it's me." In the reflection, Frank could see the door opening and Montmorency's face dropping from a smile into horror as he saw the bald head and then the clumps of ginger curls scattered about the floor. "What on earth is going on? Frank, what have you done to yourself?" "It's a disguise. Everyone thinks I've got to stay hidden. But see, I could help you find Uncle George's killers. I'm completely transformed." Montmorency was firm. "No, Frank, you're not. You look a bit strange, it's true, but you'll never be able to disguise yourself completely. Nature's seen to that. Your red hair is always going to show through." He stood behind Frank and guided his hand so that they could both see in the mirror. "Look at your eyebrows, your pale lashes. I can dye them. One of the maids has some stuff. You can tell her hair isn't really black. Only yesterday, when she bent to clean out the grate, I could see a lighter colour at the roots." "Exactly," said Montmorency. "And the same would be true for you, except it's worse than that. Your pale skin and your freckles would give you away at once." "I could use makeup or scarves or something," said Frank, as his father Gus, Duke of Monaghan, came in. Gus was even more shocked than Montmorency. He was angry.
"Frank, you idiot. What sort of a game is this?"
"It's not a game, Father. It's serious. I'm changing myself so I can do something about Uncle George."
"Don't be ridiculous. You, of all people, have to keep out of sight." The Duke looked at Tom, who was still holding the razor. "Did you do this? Did you mutilate him?"
Frank dived to Tom's defence. "I told him to."
"And Tom can't think for himself, I suppose."
"Of course I can," said Tom. "And I thought it was a good idea."
"Stupid boy. Do you want to put him in danger again?"
Frank grabbed the razor. "It has nothing to do with Tom. It's my decision, and I've got to do something or I'll go mad." He dipped the razor into the water and started scraping away at his eyebrows.
"Stop it!" cried the Duke.
He turned to Tom, still shouting.
"You thought it was a good idea? We'll see what you've done. Look at him now."
"Stop picking on Tom," said Frank. "Stop blaming him for everything, Dad. You're always criticizing Tom." With no eyebrows, Frank seemed crazed and wild, his face round and puffy, colouring up with rage. Tom pushed his way out of the room. "I was only trying to help," he said, slamming the door as he stomped off into the backyard, where embarrassed servants could hear the raised voices of the other three men, even though the windows were closed tight against the winter cold. Tom ran to the stables. Most of the horses were gone. The rest of the family were out for a ride, but they had left his favourite, a young grey, and he jumped onto its back, not bothering with a saddle or bridle.